At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Do you ever ask somebody a question just so you hope they would ask the same question back to you? If you have, you're a psychopath, and that's called boomer asking.
What?
Yeah.
Has a person ever started a conversation with you by asking you a question to then immediately turning the topic of the conversation on themselves?
Right.
It's called boomer asking.
Thank you.
Named after the outgoing and incoming arc of a boomerang.
All right. So boomerang, how does it work? You throw it, it comes right back. That's what this is. She goes on.
It follows a predictable pattern and is a habit people have that takes three turns.
It would be like, I ask you, hey, Geraldo, how was your weekend? And I let you answer. And then I'm like, let me tell you about my weekend. So it tracks this arc of a boomerang. It comes right back around to me.
I mean, I feel like we've all been in a situation where somebody has done that. And the truth is they don't even usually wait until you've gotten your whole story or explanation out.
Mm-hmm.
You say like two, three things and they're like, that's great. Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this or whatever. And I'm trying to think, I'm sure I've done it to people, but now I should feel bad.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, like now that you bring your attention to it.
I don't have a specific example of you doing it. Although if I think about it, you know, I'm one of those people that if you're like, oh, did you have a good weekend? I'm always like, yeah. Did you do anything fun? And then I'm like really short. I'm like, yeah, you know, went to a great restaurant. Yeah.
You don't elaborate.
I don't ever elaborate or anything like that. Or when somebody asks me how my vacation was, same thing. Great. You love to talk about your vacation.
I do.
So anytime.
It's like living them.
Oh, my gosh. It's like he can't. I've seen Raven many times. People be like, oh, how was your trip? And he'd be like, unbelievable. And then you go on for about 13 minutes talking about everything.
Get a long distance look in my eyes, right? Just kind of trail off. I have been a one-upper in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to be, but if somebody starts to talk about something and then it triggers a memory for me, then I will, like you said, I'll go on and on.
I don't know how to feel about that.
It's the same thing as being deliberate and asking and planting the question. Well, I mean, if I really wanted to tell you, I think I'd walk in and just say, ask me about this, or I'd just tell you.
You probably look for the gateway in, I would think. I don't know if it's bad. I don't know if it's good. To me, it just sounds like humble bragging. You're looking for a way to humble brag, and you're looking for a way to start it, and that's your icebreaker to get it going.
Yeah.
You ask a simple question. Think about it high school terms. How'd you do on the test? And then you say, like, I did all right. And you're like, well, I got a 98. That's essentially, it's your in to brag about something.
Could be.
Adults do it too, but they do it about things that they do in their life.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't share your plans if they were terrible.
Right.
So you're right. I guess it is a humble brag.
If you had a terrible weekend or a terrible vacation, you wouldn't ask somebody
else. You weren't prompting people to ask you about it. Right. Let me just relive this.
Gives you something to think about. Are you one of these boomerangers? Is that what we call it?
I guess so.
Even if you're not an NFL fan, you've probably heard people talking about cheating in the NFL, definitely over the last few weeks, few months. And the refs are all cheating. That's how the Chiefs won, and they're headed to their third straight Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the first time you hear about cheating in the NFL. But
of course not.
Roger Goodell has finally chimed in on it.
A lot of those theories are things that happen in social media. And so I understand that. I think it reflects a lot of the fans' passion. And I think it also is a reminder for us how important officiating is. And I think the men and women that officiate in the NFL are outstanding. It's a ridiculous theory for anyone who might take it seriously.
Like, what else is he supposed to say?
Of course that's what he's going to say, right? And that doesn't solve the issue for anybody. I mean, if you're a conspiracist, you think that there's always a lie or something being told. I will say this. There are guys in the NFL that can run 22 miles per hour, all right? So you've got 11 guys on defense trying to block that, right? You've got 10 guys on offense coming down the field, and you've got all this action happening across that area, and refs have to make a call at a split second. The only thing that's frustrating to me, so that means that people are going to make mistakes, obviously.
Well, I was thinking about that, because every time I see a referee, and in my Italian slang family, we call it the panza.
Okay.
Like, they got a little belly.
Yeah.
I think to myself, how the heck did they see what happened?
Up, right.
He can't keep up with that guy.
Yeah. You know? It's just the thing that's annoying is that when the audience thinks that they see something that's completely obvious or egregious, right?
Right.
And they don't go back and they don't review that or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, that play's non-reviewable. Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Right? Like, I mean, if you're going to try and get it right, then wouldn't you try and get it right? I understand during the regular season, but during the Super Bowl, like, let's take a look at that play.
Well, he said also that they're trying to find technology to take the pressure off the refs. And then I started thinking about it because then there's the people online that are like, well, you can't trust the machines.
Right.
I said, no, I'm pretty sure we could trust video.
Yeah.
I think at this point we've decided that that's okay.
I mean, there's so many angles, right, to certain things. Some plays you just can't tell, and good enough has to be good enough in those regards. But I will say this, too, is anytime you win a championship, doesn't matter if you win one in a row, two in a row like the Chiefs are going for the third in a row right now, is you're going to get some bounces going your way. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be in position to win, but you're going to get lucky once or twice throughout the season, too. That's part of it, and every team does.
But there's bad refs. There's refs that certainly throw the game.
And there are people that are influenced by outside forces.
Sure.
There was a big gambling scandal in the NBA, right?
Yes. Yep. Didn't one of the baseball refs just get fired?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, like a couple of them. They're always trying to get those guys fired.
Yeah, exactly. So
they always are.
So here's the good news. If your team doesn't win on Sunday, it's probably the ref's fault. And you can rest easy knowing that.
Yeah, I guess if that's good news.
Yeah. What if you celebrated your golden birthday and you didn't even know it? How disappointing that would be, right?
That was really the thing that I took away from this party this weekend.
Yeah. Raven went to a four-year-old golden birthday. Mm-hmm. Would you like to explain, Raven? Hold on. Actually, before we get to that, let this guy from the internet tell you what a golden birthday is, because Raven had no idea.
No idea.
A golden birthday is when you turn the same age as the day of the month you were born. Example, if you were born on the 7th of the month, your golden birthday would be when you turn 7 years old.
Yeah. So my niece Emerson turned 4 years old, and it was her golden birthday, and 4 years old on the 4th. And so it's today. It's today, as a matter of fact. So the party was this weekend. But happy birthday, Emerson. Look at that. Woo-hoo. That works out well.
Yep.
So today is her golden birthday. I had no idea. I went to it. It was a huge big deal. There were golden tattoos everywhere, pink and gold cupcakes. There was a backdrop, everything. It was so much fun. But I had no idea the premise of it. My 29th birthday would have been my golden birthday. And I'm pretty sure I blew it.
Yeah. Raven, producer Julie, producer Justin. A lot of people aren't aware of what a celebration this is, the golden birthday.
No idea.
And ironically, I had never heard it being called a golden birthday until Raven said it, because I always grew up calling it your champagne birthday.
Well, because you're a boozer.
Well, no, that's what I was told. I don't know. You think I made it up? I didn't make it up. Somebody else made it up.
Yeah, I had never heard of either of these things. I just thought your birthday was your birthday, and my birthday being in December always sucked anyways. So that was kind of the thing that I took away from it.
Julie, when was your golden birthday / champagne birthday?
It was on the 15th.
So 15, when you were 15 years old.
So almost 10 years ago now.
Big birthday.
I probably just was there.
Did you have any Corbell?
What was 15-year-old Julie like?
15, I was going into like 8th grade, I think, and it was my birthday's in the summer, so we're probably down the shore.
Did you know it was your golden birthday?
No, I just thought, I thought it was innovative, and I was like, this is a coincidence.
What? Justin, when was your golden birthday?
When I was 14 years old. I'm on the 14th.
Did you celebrate with champagne?
I had no idea. Uh-oh. Like Raven, I've never heard of this before.
Yeah.
My concern here is for the leap day babies. They will never have a golden birthday.
Well, that's terrible for them.
I mean, we just have to feel sad for them, but they're 40 and they're actually like 6.
Right,
so,
they're good.
I mean,
But 14 years old, no clue. No celebration, just a regular birthday party.
I had a proper celebration for my champagne birthday.
Did you?
Because I was born on the 23rd, so it was when I was 23.
Ripping birthday time.
Oh, yeah.
Right
yeah.
there.
All the Asti Spumanti, the finest Spumanti you could find. But you want to know what, Raven? We were talking about this yesterday. What if it was the year you were born?
Mm.
And who knew this existed?
A diamond birthday is when you celebrate the same age as the year you were born. For example, if you were born in 1989, your diamond birthday would be when you turn 89.
What?
Oh! Still got a chance when I'm 75.
How about you, Julie? Did you miss it?
Yep. It was one.
When you were one. Oh, your diamond birthday was so sad.
Oh, it's over.
A long time ago.
Oh.
Justin?
I've got a few years to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you'll probably make it.
Well, right. I don't know if I will. I'm 1980. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
My guess is that I'm probably.
No, I know. It's really sad. We're never going to see our diamond birthday. All right, maybe. Fingers crossed, guys.
Yeah.
What was the last reoccurring nightmare that you had? And was it about work? Because if it was, you're definitely not alone. They said that work-related fears accounted for 17% of reoccurring nightmares.
Really?
I always have the dream where I accidentally swear on the air. It's always that one. Yeah. You know, that one is, for 15, 20 years, that's been a problem.
Two of them that I've always had over my career is that the song is ending and I'm trying to make it back to the studio or I'm naked. Yeah, those two.
You're naked in the studio?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Not recently.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, early in my career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you be naked in the... You know what?
I had a better self-esteem earlier in my career, right?
Right.
So I imagined myself nude in various areas.
Yeah. But if you have work-related nightmares, you're not alone. 64% of Americans have work-related nightmares. Of course, it's the one thing that you have to go to every single day. It sticks in your head.
Some people get really, really terrorized by nightmares, too. Like, I mean, some people, it's not just a situation of stress, but other people lose sleep over these things. It's a big deal.
And especially when you have the same one that keeps coming back.
Yeah.
Yes. I ever since I was a little girl, I have this reoccurring nightmare of this vampire where his neck is on top of his head and he's chasing me. But it's terrifying. Because imagine a vampire with his neck on top of his head.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine.
Well,
yeah.
Imagine, just take the neck, and it would be on top of the head. Right.
Yeah, but the head is still upright and regular. Does he have a second neck underneath his head?
No, unfortunately not.
No, so the coat just goes right up to his face, basically.
It's a cape. It's a black cape.
Okay, and then on top of his head, though, is his neck.
Right.
What's on the top of the neck? Is it like, is
nothing.
There hair up there?
No.
Can you see his spine?
No, it's like guts.
Okay.
It's like guts. It's scary. I don't know. I think people have weird reoccurring nightmares. What's yours? Alexandra?
So I have this weird dream. I don't know what it means, but I keep getting chased by dogs. But you know, in your dream, when you try to run, you can't run fast.
Mm.
So it can be in random places. I can be like, one time I had a dream. I was at a McDonald's inside the place and some dogs came from behind the counter and start chasing me. I never get bit in the dream, but it seemed like they were very close to biting me. The other time I was on the highway. I don't know how I was walking on the highway, but some random dogs jumped out of the back of a truck and started chasing me down the highway.
Do you smell like bacon? My dogs love bacon. Speaking of not being able to do anything fast, run fast, how come I can't do anything fast really in my dreams? So I was having a dream the other day, and I forget exactly why, but I was mad at my wife, and I was trying to express this, and I was burning my breath. I could not get the word out. I was like, I can't believe this.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a whale almost. I was trying to speak, but it was so slow. And then I woke up because I was mad because I couldn't get it out quicker.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what the slow thing is. We have to ask the expert.
Yeah, no idea.
Alexandra, you don't sleep with a weighted blanket, do you?
No.
Oh, I remember when I went through that period where it made my husband for Christmas buy me the heaviest weighted blanket he could find.
Yeah, then you felt like you were suffocating.
Yeah, I would have nightmares that I was awake, but I couldn't escape and I couldn't wake myself up. So in my dream, I'm trying to wake myself up so I could move, but I'm just paralyzed in place. But it's because I had a 40-pound blanket on me.
Right. You wake up and you can move your eyes, but you're still frozen in place. You tell your husband to knock it off the corner of you.
Yeah, Alexander, don't do that.
Yeah, stay away from those. Right. Right. Well, good luck with those dogs.
Right. Do you have a reoccurring nightmare about work? You are not alone. It says that 17% of people have work-related fears that are reoccurring nightmares. And the truth of the matter is, reoccurring nightmares, period, are annoying and scary.
I have reoccurring dreams, but I can't say that my nightmares, I really recall them being the same.
Nicole?
I have a nightmare about once a week that I'm trapped in an elevator. I don't have a particular fear of elevators, but for some reason, my subconscious is like, why don't you dream about being trapped in an elevator?
That's a popular one, I think. Elevators in general, I think a lot of people are afraid of them.
Getting stuck in one would certainly be scary. Also, when you have to go like way up and some kid gets on, but he's there like with his mom or his dad, and then he starts pressing all the buttons and you know you're going to have to stop at all those floors.
Oh,
terrible scenario.
It says being trapped in an elevator is feeling hopelessness in some aspect of your life because there's a situation you can't find your way out of. I got locked in our elevator here one time.
That's right.
Yeah, it wasn't that long. It was just a few minutes, but it was strange because I knew I was tired because I thought maybe I should just take a nap.
Lay down here.
Lay down.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that came into my mind, and that's when I was like, okay, you got to go to bed earlier. And then when they finally opened it, I had to like step up where it wasn't on the same level.
Yeah.
And that freaked me out was when they opened the doors and you could see like down inside.
They're like reaching for you.
Give
me your hand.
It was like 6 inches. I was safe. It was fine.
Eric, what's your nightmare or reoccurring dream?
So it's in the car. It's at night. It's a dark road. I can't see in front of me. And I am going, it's like a windy road. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving, but I can't control my speed. And I keep going like way too fast, almost swerving off the road. And it just keeps getting faster and faster and like near miss after near miss. But I'm steering and I'm driving, but I have no control over the car.
That has to be you feel out of control in your life.
I want to know what happens next. In
nothing.
How long can he hold on?
You never crash. You never go over the edge.
Oh,
you never
crashed.
Hit the bottom. You have?
Yeah. Like I slide out and then I wake up as I'm like crashing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because if not, you die. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, good luck, sir. I hope it continues because it was riveting of a story. But also, I hope you continue to wake up before you actually crash. Mm-hmm. Because according to Anna, if you don't, it's bad.
That is a common thing. I don't know if it's a myth, but we should probably ask somebody. Ivan, you have a reoccurring nightmare?
Yeah, so my teeth falling out. It happens, I know, it's awful. And it could be like a totally normal dream, like I'm just out with friends or something, nothing really crazy is going on, and my teeth fall out. Or sometimes I'm giving a speech, and like everybody's looking at me, and my teeth fall out. Or it's like a crazy dream where I'm in space and, like, you know, the aliens and just, like, weird dream stuff. And then still, my teeth fall out.
Yeah, that means something. I think it means you're pregnant, but hold on a second.
Yeah,
when you're
in space, obviously, your teeth are falling out. Come on. If the aliens want your teeth, they'll just wave or, like, send it telepathically for your teeth to fall out. You won't need it because everything is in a squeeze tube to eat.
Okay. It says that it's feeling of insecurity about your physical appearance and your ability to face challenges in everyday life. But I swear I thought it meant that you're pregnant.
See that? You don't
wrong.
Think you're sexy enough when the aliens show up. You don't feel like you look buff enough or cool enough or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You should get over that. I don't think that they're going to judge you that way.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, these dreams certainly aren't helping.
No, they're probably just going to vaporize you and then eat your teeth.
Could also mean recent loss or grief. Mm. Interesting. Where did I come up with pregnant? Did I make that up? I swear I read that somewhere.
Seems like a lot of options.
You know what? We'll just check in with the experts. Coming up next, we'll talk to a dream expert. We'll find out. If you hit the ground, do you die? Why do you have nightmares and what do they mean? Justina Lasley is the founder of the Institute for Dream Studies. You can find them online at institutefordreamstudies.org. Justina, what causes people to have reoccurring nightmares and nightmares in general?
Thank you so much, Anna, for asking this question, because I say nightmares are not bad. It's usually bad dreamer that's not paying attention. I think if we think of we're having a dream, it's got a message, it's coming to us, then it becomes a recurring dream. It's still not terrifying, but if we're not listening and paying attention, our dream maker and consciousness of our being is trying to get our attention, and it's going to make a lot of noise until we wake up and pay attention.
I love this. Anna, she loves dreams so much that she's mad at us because we screwed it up and made it a nightmare.
That's true.
Like people that are like, sharks wouldn't bite you unless you were there swimming. I mean, they're not wrong. So maybe she's not wrong. I love that. All right. So how do we do a better job of shaping and steering our dreams so that they don't become nightmares? Because I do this every night before I go to sleep. I actually like kind of set my dream up.
That's great, Raven, that you are paying attention and thinking about maybe what I would like an answer to. And we call that incubating a dream. So I do that. And if I have a health issue, I'm like, what's really going on with my body? Or if there's just a misunderstanding I've had with someone, I will think about that before I go to bed. And the dream, it is so amazingly there for us.
Well, you know, Justina, we talk to a lot of people and they all seem to have the same recurring nightmares of being chased, of their teeth falling out, of getting stuck in an elevator. Why do so many people dream of the same bad things happening to them?
Well, being chased is definitely one of the common dream themes. I find when I work with clients that they're being chased, and I encourage them to go back into the dream and stop and wait for whoever is chasing them to catch up with them. And it is amazing how most often it's someone or something with more of a present than a nightmare kind of thing. They're like, you have been running away from me forever, and I have a really good idea for you.
Oh, wait a minute.
Or I know what you could do.
They're
going to
be bringing me a present?
Yes.
This whole time I've been running away from this vampire in my dreams, and he's going to bring me a present?
You're going to kiss that werewolf.
No.
Vampire, whatever it is.
Seriously, if you think about what they're really representing, there are other aspects, too, that they can be life-giving. I think we are afraid of the good things that they might offer us. People say, why fear the predominant emotion? And I do think that it's because we are afraid of taking on more to become the person that we're created to be.
Okay. Solve an urban legend for us, all right, that's been predicated by the Matrix now to Anna.
Yes.
If Anna dies in her dream, what's that mean for her life?
Will I die in real life?
Okay, Anna. You are going to die in real life.
Oh, my God.
But when I die in the dream.
I did not expect that.
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I read that
dream
the wrong way.
See,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. See? I knew where she was going. I knew. All right. Well, that's good. I could cross that right off the list. So when the car goes over the cliff, I could just hold on tight. Let's see where we're going next.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, you're fine.
Hold on. Put your wings out and see that you can fly and land safely. I don't think I've ever heard a dream where somebody's gone off a cliff and died, but again, it's frightening.
It's frightening, but you know, I don't know what, from now on, I'm going to push the gas even harder. Let's go.
Yeah, why not?
And I'm going to turn around. I'm going to face that vampire. Justina Lasley, founder of the Institute for Dream Studies, find her online at institutefordreamstudies.org. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to Facebook. It turns 21 years old today.
Well, that's wild.
And if you are over 21, you're probably the only people that know what Facebook is, because no young people are on Facebook anymore.
I mean, still, though, for some people, like, it's like their whole life, right? Like,
no,
I mean, for some people, it's like a driving part of their life.
It's true. There's some things you should never post on Facebook, though. Answers to common security questions. I don't know why you would do that in the first place.
Thank you.
But you see people do weird things. Your license, a picture of your license. I actually see a lot of parents do that, and I'm like, no. Like, when their kids get their licenses, they'll, like, you know, they'll make them take a picture holding up their licenses, and they'll take a picture and post it. I'm like, why did you do that? You just put your child's information.
Licenses, is it license, or is license also the plural of license or the possessive? I don't know.
The name of your kid's school, you should definitely keep that off.
Okay.
Other people's big news, you know, when you go to a wedding,
yes,
and you post a picture of the bride and the groom and you weren't supposed to do that.
Good thing to remember.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's not very tactful.
And as Facebook turns 21, they would also like you to know you should never post anything while drunk. Seems like a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, that's like, you know, the whole drunk, the late night phone call that you make, or the drunk texting too. Like, in general, like, if you're intoxicated, take away your devices, basically.
It's true.
Yeah, you know, what's the thing that annoys you the most about Facebook?
I honestly don't spend a lot of time on it anymore.
Same.
And I don't like, and I always do it, I don't check my messages often on Facebook,
right,
because so many come in. And then people will send me important information in a Facebook Messenger. And that is not the way to contact me.
Right. When people communicate that way, I can't believe it.
Or when they send Facebook invites and they're like, hey, you never responded because you sent a Facebook invite.
That I, call me.
If it was 2006 again, then I could probably, maybe. But
yeah.
So there's different ways to reach people that are more reliable at this point.
Call me or text me. Yeah. When you log on there and you see a message and you're like, oh, the funeral service was this day. I'm like, I didn't even know that person passed.
Right. They checked their Facebook.
Absolute terrible, you know, thing to find out in a situation like that.
Also trending, when it rains, it pours. And this is so sad. For the first time in a long time, a lot of people are afraid to fly. And obviously, this has been triggered by the collision between the commercial American Airlines flight and the Black Hawk over Washington, D.C. Then there was the medical aircraft that crashed in Northeast Philadelphia. But it gets weirder. They say things happen in threes. Everybody knock on wood that's it. The Houston Fire Department was called after the right wing of a United Airlines plane caught on fire midway through takeoff. Here's the good news. Everybody is fine. Everybody was fine. But here's one passenger describing what happened.
We had a big popping sound that was loud enough to startle me out of my sleep. And then the plane actually jolted to a stop. Seeing the smoke off the wing was really scary. And then seeing the intensity of everyone just trying to get off plane.
Right. Terrifying, right?
Scary situation. Mm-hmm. She's one of those people, though, that's asleep before the plane even takes off.
That's me.
Always jealous of that person.
That's me. I get on the plane, and as soon as I get, like, the hum, I just put my head down to the side if I don't have my kids, because otherwise I just have to keep feeding them snacks, find the iPad,
right,
and whatever.
Right, you're not sleeping ever.
Yeah, but they want to reassure people that it is safe to fly, and it is safe to fly. It's safer than getting in a car.
Yeah, no, look at the numbers. Yeah, but it's scary, right? You can't help that.
Yeah, but this is going viral. It's an announcement made by an American Airlines pilot that was giving passengers flying from Jacksonville to Miami. Here's what he said.
Maybe fearful about flying, and that's certainly understandable, but just please know that my first officer and our flight attendants and myself place your safety and the responsibility of carrying you to your families, your vacations, your meetings at the highest level. I have no higher calling than carefully and professionally transporting you today. So with that, relax and enjoy the beautiful evening that we get to fly in. We'll be underway shortly. Welcome.
Yep, it's safe to fly. They're taking care of you. Everything is going to be okay. What if AI did therapy? How would you feel about that? Would you feel more comfortable confiding in a robot versus confiding in a real live person?
I'm guessing that there are quite a few people that might actually, at least at first, right? Until you get into that whole existential thing of I'm talking to a toaster and these are automated responses. But at first, it's like that trauma dumping thing you do with strangers.
Yeah.
There's no judgment. There's no human looking me in the face.
So here's what the experts have been saying about it, because it's a real thing. And I tried it earlier today and was really pleasantly surprised, to be honest.
Okay.
We don't believe that AI can replace that human connection and having a listening ear. But the thing that's really interesting is actually being able to identify patterns.
Identify patterns, I thought was interesting, because I didn't know really what she meant by that.
Yeah.
But then she continues.
We believe AI can basically receive a lot of unstructured conversations and really help you synthesize it and get into a more logical understanding of the different parts of your emotions. And that part is really what AI can do. And it actually can do it really brilliantly and can do it actually in real time. So it can happen outside of the therapy sessions. And that's what's really exciting about it.
So this morning I sat up in bed when I woke up and I went to ChatGPT.
Okay.
And I asked it first, today I'm feeling sad. I don't feel like getting out of bed and I'm tired. What do I do?
Yeah.
And it said, I'm really sorry you're feeling this way. Some days are just heavy and that's okay. You don't have to force yourself to be productive right away. Sometimes the best thing is to take it slow.
I mean, that's pretty good information right there. That's pretty good advice.
And then it says, here are a few small steps you could try. Start with one thing. Maybe it's just sit up in bed or drink some water. Two, get some fresh air. Even opening a window or stepping outside for a minute can help.
All right. Here's a couple of victories.
Yeah. And then it says, do you want to talk about what's on your mind? I'm here to listen. And I was like, okay, ChatGPT, my free therapist.
Right. But I mean, you approached a part where all of a sudden it didn't feel completely what you needed, but it had already gotten you down the road, though.
Right.
It got you in motion.
It gets crazier. I go, let me ask it like something more specific and weird.
Okay.
Right? I wrote, again, I was just thinking of something random.
Sure.
I wrote, my dad disapproves of all my career-related choices, and now that I'm unemployed, he seems to be gloating. I'm having a hard time with this.
Okay, so wait
like
a minute.
A real problem.
So you
like
did.
A real
you took a turn now,
problem.
And then you wrote a novel.
Yeah.
So this is what you did.
Because I wanted to see, like, what would it do? Because the last one was really broad when I tried it for the first time, and I was impressed. So it wrote, that sounds really painful, and I'm sorry you're going through it. It's hard enough dealing with unemployment, but without also feeling like someone, especially a parent, is taking pleasure in your struggles, that kind of disapproval and lack of support can be really discouraging.
Wait a minute. Is my therapist a robot?
It might help to remind yourself that your career is your journey, not his. His opinions don't define your worth or potential. Take that, fake dad. Even if they're hard to ignore.
Your father seems very supportive
of
your career.
No, my father is very supportive. But I wanted to see. I was like, the daddy issues, the mommy issues, what would it do?
Right
now, it's okay to feel upset, but try not to let his negativity shape how you see yourself. And then it keeps going on and on. And I was like, this is not as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
And it was available to you at, you know, 7:08 in the morning or whatever, right? Like, I mean, those things are important. Listen, when you are ready to talk to somebody, talking to somebody is the biggest part.
Well, right?
Like making sure that you're in a conversation. This is going to sound insane when I say it out loud, but not this therapist, but my second to last therapist put me on an app immediately and I couldn't warm up to it. But here it was working for you.
Just go on ChatGPT. It's free. There you go. Wow. Congratulations. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Do you ever see somebody naked?
Hmm.
Raven's wife has an issue.
Now, here's the thing, right? So, like, everybody has that thing in their house that one person does, one partner does, and the other person undoes every time they walk into a room, right? Maybe they rearrange the dishwasher. Maybe they turn on a light, turn off it, turn the thermostat up or down. In my house, this happens to be the blinds, right? The blinds are always closed in my house. And to me, it makes me feel dark and a little bit mausoleum-like or whatever. So when I walk into a room, I open the blinds or I at least tilt them so that there's sunlight coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife has this theory that this is a problem. Listen.
So by your estimation, how many neighbors have seen you naked?
Oh, definitely Marge when I've been in the pool.
Okay.
And definitely the guy behind us because our bedroom windows face back there, and you like to keep all the blinds open for some reason.
Yeah, by the way,
why?
I don't remember my wife naked in the pool.
I was about to say, why is Lisa naked in the pool?
But the point being is that my wife thinks that people are just always looking in other people's windows, hoping to catch them naked.
I also believe that. But
what?
We definitely need to find out why she was naked in the pool.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing margaritas is probably, you know, the reason there.
Okay, right. Hold on. So Marge,
our neighbor Marge,
naked.
Has a perfect window where she can see into our pool. She's the only neighbor who can do so, thankfully.
It's interesting to think about it because I'm constantly, my neighbors are so far away.
Right.
I still close the blinds in my bedroom just in case.
In case a bird's looking?
I don't. What's
happening here?
When I go to a hotel, you know, most hotels, it's blocked out. You can't see inside the windows.
Yeah, it's like tinted.
Right. I am constantly thinking somebody's going to see me naked.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real thing.
I mean, we're also on the second floor. Like, there's nobody that has a house that's four stories next to us, right? They are also quite a distance away. And unless they were in a high rise, they can't see down into the building. It just seems silly to me. But I continue to ask her. I talk to her.
How many neighbors have you seen naked?
Thankfully, none.
So what makes you think that they're seeing you if you're not seeing them?
Because you always open the blinds.
To be fair, I have a neighbor behind us, right? And their living room faces, they have a bay window faces our house, and they had no curtains up there forever. Mm-hmm. I still don't think they do at this point. And I can't tell if they're naked because my vision is not that great.
You're right.
So
right.
When I see like pink or red, I'm like, oh, they must be wearing a red shirt. I don't know.
No.
Maybe they're nude.
Who knows?
Could be.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out, is it worse when you're caught naked or when you see somebody naked that you're not supposed to see naked, that it's an accident?
I mean, if anybody's ever seen me, it's an accident because I vacuum in my boxers from time to time. It gets hot. You're running around.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've had an incident. Well, remember when Kristen, our boss, walked in on you on the toilet?
Yes.
That was awkward. I think it was more awkward for her than for you because you said, hey, and she screamed.
Well, what are you going to say at that point? The door is open. We're staring at each other. You know, you got to be like, hello. You know, I mean, try and roll with it.
Oh, it's like the time that I was in a public bathroom at a pool. We was at a Marriott. And this little kid, I had a one piece on.
Yeah.
So the whole thing
it's
was
all gonna
down.
Come down.
And this little kid, the door was, she walked in. She had to be like 7 years old. And I must have traumatized her because I stood up. I was like, no, honey, it's okay.
And screamed.
And I said, and she just screamed and walked out. Oh, my gosh. But I was thinking about it. I don't think I've ever accidentally seen somebody naked.
Oh, wow.
Can you make it your whole life without accidentally seeing somebody naked that you're not supposed to?
I don't know. Just, I mean, you know, you got neighbors. You live somewhere. Who have you seen naked?
Who have you seen naked? Have you seen somebody naked? Are you the naked person? Have you ever accidentally seen somebody naked? Somebody you're not supposed to see naked? And what was your reaction? What happened? Or were you the naked person? 1-800-330-9999. Raven and his wife have been arguing because she closes the blinds because she assumes all the neighbors see them naked all the time.
I mean, it just seems ridiculous to me. I just want some sunlight in my house. Every room I'm walking into, I got to open them back up. She's like, the neighbors are watching. What are they watching?
Lisa, were you the naked person or did you see somebody naked you weren't supposed to?
I was not. I was the unfortunate viewer when my friend and I, she lived in Jersey, and her next door neighbor was actually somebody who owned a sports team. I'm going to leave him unnamed. And he used to walk around naked all the time. So we, being teenagers, would sleep late. We would get up at around 11 o'clock and we'd open up the blinds and there it was all the time.
Gosh, I want to know who it is.
It wasn't like he was flashing us, but he would just walk around the house and we all together.
You know, when you're rich, you got big, big windows, Anna, right?
Sure.
You know, you own the sports team, big, big windows, all right? And those are custom curtains. And if you like sunlight, you want to get your vitamin D, you're leaving those curtains drawn. You're leaving them open.
Oh, my.
I don't even want to see myself naked. I can't even imagine. Thanks, Lisa.
He was an older guy, too, so we didn't want to look at him either.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Yep. Yeah, it's like old guys in locker rooms. They love to be naked.
They do.
They really do.
No, that is true. As having been in a men's locker room, I can tell you right now, old dudes love to walk around naked. It's weird.
Paul tells me all the time. He's like, if there is an old dude, he is hairy and he's got a towel around his waist and then he happily drops it.
Yeah, he puts it around his neck.
Right.
Ann Raven, who's this?
Hi, D.
Are you the naked neighbor or who did you see randomly naked?
So, funny story. I had a sleepover at my friend's house one time. It was about 1 a.m. Her parents didn't know we were still awake. I went in the kitchen to her dad, full-blown naked. And a month later, her mom was pregnant. And I go, I know what night that was.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Like, I mean, is he looking for a paper towel or making a sandwich? What's happening here? Very uncomfortable.
When I say full-blown naked at the sink, grabbing a snack, and he turns around and just runs out the room. No words were said. It was so awkward.
I hope he got his snack.
I mean, what kind of parent walks around when there's guests at the house naked? You know the kids are having a sleepover.
Hey, Christy, were you the naked neighbor caught, or did you catch somebody rando naked?
I was the naked person.
Okay, what happened?
Okay, so it's kind of weird. So I was, I used to get up for work at 2 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, very pitch black outside. Yeah. I forgot something in the living room. I was just getting out of the shower. So I quick ran to the living room. And just as I was in the front of my very big bay window, a car drove by. And I was like, oh my God, because, you know, it's light in my house. It's dark outside. You know, they're going to see me.
Yeah.
And the worst thing was the car stopped and reversed.
Oh, well,
I mean, of course.
Oh.
I mean,
I'm sure it was just your paper delivery person.
Creep. Oh.
Your paper delivery
so
person,
creepy.
And he missed your number.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. I forgot about the naked suntanning lady. Remember?
Oh, yeah, but that was broad daylight.
Yeah, there was this lady that used to suntan naked, and I used to drive by her house, and my daughter saw her the first time, my teenager, Hayden, and she was like, Ma, that lady was naked, and I was like, there's no way she's sunbathing naked.
No way, no way.
And I turned around and go back to check, and she was
like
right.
Like a grown-up.
Like an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I forgot about a naked suntanning lady.
Yeah, but you guys took that route, like, every time after that for a while, for a couple weeks to check it, but she was always out there naked.
Every sunny day after high school pickup, we go that way just to see if she's still out there trying to get her. I mean, no tan lines.
You missed the spring. It's coming.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I just don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day we check in with a couple. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Powered by NHTSA, crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers.
That's where driver assistance technologies come in. New features that have the potential to save lives.
Learn more at nhtsa.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA. Charles and Amanda. Charles, let's start with you. What's going on?
So my father died recently. And my brother and I are we're fighting over the inheritance. We're supposed to split everything. It's not like a huge amount of money, but my brother wants everything, and I'm sort of willing to just give him everything. Amanda thinks that I shouldn't do that.
Okay. Amanda, go ahead.
It's not really about the money or the property. It's about what's right. Part of the problem is that his whole life, Charles has let his brother, like, win everything. And, you know, I just feel like it's time for him to speak up and get his fair share and, like, stand his ground, because this guy just always gets away with everything. Everybody just placates to him and everybody rolls over for him. He's been like that guy his whole life, and I'm kind of sick of it.
Well, first, Charles, sorry for the loss of your father. Obviously, that's painful, but have you dealt with this before? You've lost somebody, you know, close to you before? Because this is a thing that happens.
Obviously, never dealt with it like this before. We live further away, so my brother's been there, you know, especially at the end, and so he sort of feels entitled to things. I really just don't care. I mean, it's not like we couldn't use the money, but we don't need the money, and he's just been, like, issue after issue, and he could use the money. I just want to fight about it. Just like family issue after family issue. This is going to just cause problems. And I'm happy to just be like, you know, whatever you think you deserve, you can have. And Amanda's like, no, like, you should get this. I really just don't want to fight with him.
No, I understand 100% where you're coming from. I feel like I live in the realm of whatever I have to do not to cause controversy and drama. So I understand 100% where you're coming from. But Amanda may have a point here. If you just let him always get things and you don't speak up, is this just a pattern of events that's going to continue for the rest of your life? Or does it just end now because your parents are gone?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's not going to end. There's been plenty of issues. I'm sure there's going to be another point down the line where he's going to need money, you know, and he's going to come to me for it. But right now it's like, all right, you could have this and this might actually set you up for a little bit. And we'll be okay. He'll be okay. Like, this might be a good thing for him is kind of where I'm at. Like, all right, you could actually use this. This could actually give you a fresh start. We don't really need it. Amanda's point is, like, he needs to, like, learn a lesson. And I don't really, you know, I don't really feel like I need to teach him a lesson right now.
Okay, but let me just make sure I understand this correctly. Your father left this all to both of you.
Yes. In the will, my father split everything between me and my brother. Like, okay. We're supposed to share everything half and half. He owns a condo. We're supposed to sell. We can keep it, or one person can buy the other one out. We don't want that. We don't want the house.
But your brother feels entitled because he feels like he took care of your father in his later days.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, ultimately, what does the audience think? Do you think if you want to avoid drama and you just want to make sure the relationship stays positive, do you just let him have it, especially if it's not that big a deal to you? Or do you side with Amanda? That's not where your father's wishes were, and it's not right for your brother to try to do this. If your brother was fighting you for inheritance, would you just give it to him to solve all the drama and just to keep it as happy as you can after a loss? Or would you say, no, that's not what Dad wanted? That's what's going on with Charles and Amanda. Charles' father recently passed away, and his father left everything to him and his brother to split down the middle. But his brother says he was the caretaker at the end, that he earned it more and would like all of it. And Charles is like, you know what? We don't really need it. Like, who cares? If he wants to take it and it's going to keep the family together and happy, I'm just going to let him have it.
I think the more important information that the stuff that I'm taking away from it anyways is that his brother has always had money issues. All right. This has been an ongoing situation. They have lent money to the brother before. The brother has taken a larger lion's share of things that have been put before them before. And, you know, this really is just going to pause that. He's going to circle back around for more money. That seems to be Amanda's worry anyway. She said, your father left this money to the two of you. There is a will for a reason. This is not up to you guys to decide. You should just get what's coming to you.
Michelle, whose side are you on?
Well, first I want to say I'm sorry for his loss, but I am definitely 100% on the wife's side. And the reason is this guy's a grown adult, the brother, and it is time for a lesson. And I think if he wants to help him out for being there in the end and doing a lot more, then do a 40 split and give him a little more. But I don't think he should be against his dad's wishes and just be passive to what his brother wants.
His father may have done that with that in mind, frankly.
Mm-hmm. If your brother was battling you for inheritance, would you just give in to keep the family happy and together? Or would you fight for what was yours? That's what's going on with Charles and Amanda. Charles' father had passed away, and his father had left everything to he and his brother. But his brother has argued that he took care of his father at the end, and really, he's entitled to more than Charles. And truthfully, Charles doesn't care. He says, you know what? I just want to keep everybody happy. We don't need it. If he wants to take the whole thing, it's not a ton anyway. Just let him have it.
You know, I wonder how much of it he really truly doesn't care, or how much of it is just this is the pattern that they followed their entire life. And that when the brother, you know, muscles up to the counter and says that this is all mine, typically it's been Charles who has given in and said, you know what, I'd rather not have the conflict. You just take it. Amanda says that's the way it's been forever. They have distance between them and the brother already. How much do they really see him? What is the relationship going to be after? Who knows? You don't really know. Don't know, right?
What do you think? Carol?
I'm on the wife's side. I feel if the father left it to both of them, then the both of them should get it. I had a similar situation with my brother, who now passed, and I would never, ever take more of that. You know, my parents wanted both of us to have it. I did the most for my parents, but that didn't mean anything. They loved my brother, and I loved my brother. Mm-hmm. So he got half, and I got half, and that's the way it should be.
Hey, Megan, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I am on the husband's side. I think that Amanda is being kind of selfish and has a very toxic mindset. Like, he needs to learn a lesson. Like, we got to, you know, go by the rules or whatever. And I don't think it's her place to decide what happens with the money. It's not her father.
Hey, Rick, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on the wife's side. I went through this with my brother and my sister. And when somebody dies, money grabs everything. This guy sounds like he's going to come back for money. Follow the will. Split everything down the middle. And if you want, put it, the money that he gets, in a money market. So later on, when his brother comes around mooching, he can give him some of that money.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Amanda, our audience agreed with you today. It seems like your brother is walking all over you. It's not the wishes of your father. That's not what your dad wanted. It's not fair that you're just going to hand it over to him.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's just going to create drama where there doesn't need to be drama, but I'm willing to accept the verdict. So I'll tell him, look, you know, I mean, it's legal documents. We'll be like, look, we're splitting this 50-50, but I feel like it's going to cause a rift with my brother. So,
Charles, it sounds to me like you got nothing but rifts with your brother. I mean, frankly,
yeah.
Your father's passed now, so, you know, what connection is there at this point? So, I mean, it's not like you guys are going to be spending holidays together. It sounds like, to me, like there's a lot of mistrust and insecurity here. Why don't you just take your part, and he takes his part, and you go your separate ways?
Yeah. I mean, it's harder than it sounds, but yeah, I think that's what we're going to have to do now.
I got family, man. You don't have to tell me. I know what it is. So I know what it is that I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it.
If every time he comes around, he makes you and your family feel terrible and insecure, maybe you shouldn't have him coming around.
Yeah. No, I get it. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $6,600. Seth, you want to win some money?
I do.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Wait, Raven can leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, man.
Okay.
$6,600.
Here we go. All right, Raven's going to walk out of here. I got to wait for that door to close. We are in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions, Seth. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. I want to give away some money. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, in addition to winning big at the Grammys, Beyonce announced that Cowboy Carter tour is kicking off at the end of April. Which one of her children sat beside her at the awards?
I have no idea.
Number two, The Kardashians season 6 premieres this Thursday on Hulu. What was the name of the original Kardashian reality series that debuted on E! In 2007?
Meet the Kardashians.
Number three, Trevor Noah hosted the Grammys, but is best known for replacing Jon Stewart as host of The Daily Show. Who did Jon Stewart replace when he took over hosting duties at The Daily Show?
Craig Kilborn.
Number four, today is Facebook's 21st birthday. People know Mark Zuckerberg as the face of Facebook, but the first president of Facebook was Sean Parker. He also co-founded what now defunct music sharing site?
Oh, got it. It's not LimeWire.
Number five, it's tough to be a bug. The attraction at Animal Kingdom at Disney World will close for good next month. It'll be replaced with what Disney animal theme movie that includes characters Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde?
Yeah, I can't think of it. It's all right.
Oh, it's all right, Seth.
It's one of those days. I'm not winning this one. It's okay.
That's all right. You got one right. One right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not great. Let's see how I do. $6,600. Here we go.
Number one, in addition to winning big at the Grammys, Beyonce announced the Cowboy Carter tour kicking off at the end of April. Yeah. Which one of her children sat beside her at the awards?
Blue Ivy. It's always Blue Ivy.
I just want to say, and I don't want you to make fun of me.
Okay.
What a classy young girl Blue Ivy is.
That's lovely.
I mean, she always dressed beautifully, appropriately. She always is at work with her mom. I look at her and I'm like, they are doing something right with that girl.
You are saying all this and you are thinking in your head, it's the opposite of Jaden Smith. you are thinking it's what happened to the Smith family and their children. And look at this.
It's actually somebody else that I'm thinking is the opposite, but it's not nice, so I'm not going to say that about a child.
Okay.
Number two, The Kardashians season 6 premieres this Thursday on Hulu. What was the name of the original Kardashian reality series that debuted on E! In 2007?
Keeping Up with the Kardashians, of course.
Yes. Number three, Trevor Noah hosted the Grammys, but is best known for replacing Jon Stewart as the host of The Daily Show. Who did Jon Stewart replace when he took over hosting duties on The Daily Show?
Was it Craig Kilborn?
Yes. Number four, today is Facebook's 21st birthday. People know Mark Zuckerberg is the face of Facebook, but the first president of Facebook was Sean Parker. He also co-founded what now defunct music sharing site?
Napster.
Yes. Number five, it's tough to be a bug. The attraction at Animal Kingdom at Disney World will close for good next month. It'll be replaced by what Disney animal-themed movie that includes characters Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde?
Zootopia?
Yeah.
Yeah!
Seth, 5-1 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
I'm Seth, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. Sounds a little bitter. $6,700 tomorrow, Anna.
You did a great job, Seth. And I want to thank Jesse, who supplied one of the questions I used today. If you have an idea for a question, head to annonraven.com and let me know.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be.
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.